I couldn't help but notice the first selection was speaking about Yahweh. The second selection was speaking about Yahshua. Then the third selection was speaking about us. How amazing the grace of Yahweh is. We need it. We need it every hour. If it wasn't for His grace, a lot of us, we wouldn't be here right now. We wouldn't be here as one, fellowshipping in peace, because we come from different backgrounds. We have, you know, we were taught different things. And so Yahweh has brought us together as one. I have a question here. Did we all humble ourselves as we approached Yahweh this Sabbath? And I mentioned once, when the Sabbath comes around, do we ever wish Yahweh and Yahshua a happy Sabbath? They're here. They exist. They gave us this day so that we could rest. And so that is a question that we must all answer for ourselves. There's a certain congregation, and I always think to myself, you know, I should do this, but I always forget. When they come into the temple of Yahweh, the first thing they do, the men, the women, they kneel. They say a prayer. The women cover their face as they come before Almighty Father Yahweh. I think that's a good approach, because this is the house of Yahweh. This is a house of prayer. And we come here for peace. We come here for encouragement. We come here to fellowship with one another. And Yahweh and Yahshua are in our midst. I'm going to have some scriptures up here. I want to try to make it easier for the brethren that take down the scriptures, because sometimes we fly through these scriptures and sometimes we might even misquote them because, you know, we get so wound up in the word of Yahweh. Hallelujah. But if you would, the first selection I chose is from Micah chapter 6. If you have the RSB, the second edition, I take a little longer to find it because there's more pages in there. So give you some time. I have up here Micah chapter 6, and verses 6 through 8. I'm going to have all the scriptures up here. I have exactly 10 of them. And then I have three others that I'm just going to quote those scriptures. But Micah chapter 6, I don't have the whole text on here, so that's why I'm giving you a little bit of time to get there. And the prophet Micah, he asks an interesting question in chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. See, we were talking this morning in the Bible study, James chapter 3, about our tongue, the words that come, the words that proceed from our mouth. And a lot of times when we come before Yahweh, we're guilty. There's no way around it. We come before Yahweh. It says that we're sinners. And we're guilty. But, you know, there's a difference between being a sinner and being a repentant sinner. See, there's people that practice this, but they don't want to change their ways. Then there's the other group. They want to change their ways. We want to change our ways. We want to conform to the ways of Yahweh. So Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. It says here, how am I to present myself in Yahweh's presence and bow in the presence of the High Elohim? How should I present myself? With burnt offerings? With year-old calves? Will Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or with endless rivers of oil? Am I to give my firstborn to pay for my rebellion, the fruit of my body, in exchange for my soul? He has made it clear to you, mortal man, what is good and what Yahweh is requiring from you: to act with justice, to treasure Yahweh's gracious love, and most of all, to walk humbly in the company of your Elohim. Hallelujah. So here we have three keys that the prophet is giving to us. And the people here are guilty. The people in Micah's time, the prophet came to him. So they said, okay, well, what am I going to do now? It's like those men in the book of Acts when Peter convicted them. You know, you impaled the Messiah by what you did. Well, what did they say? They said, well, what do we do now? He said, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And once you've done that, continue to walk in the Torah of Yahweh. Continue to learn what it is to be a righteous person, a sanctified person. After you're justified, then you walk towards sanctification. Now, Romans chapter 12, if you go there real quick, I don't have that up here, but I'm just quoting this one because this is an answer for us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, this is dedicated service to Yahweh, is the chapter heading. This is a scripture which tells us how to approach Yahweh. Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. It continues, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim. So there it is. By the mercies of Yahweh, we are to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's one way to approach Yahweh. It says, it is your reasonable service. So that's to say, it's like your priestly duty. When you come before Yahweh, you can't just come any old way. The priests in the Old Testament, when they went before him, what did they do? They washed their hands, they washed their feet. There's a procedure to go before Yahweh before you offer anything. Yeshua says if you have offended anyone, go and make peace with them before you give your offering to Yahweh. Hallelujah. That way your conscience can be clear. You made peace with your neighbor. Approaching someone for the first time can make or break relationships. And it's true that most times we only get one chance to make a first impression. If you don't ever see that person again, you could have either offended them or you could have pushed them onto the path, you know, to righteousness. You could have said something that, you know, might have tugged at their heart and they might say, you know what, that brother was right. Whatever, you know, what he said, that was right. I need to go ahead and search the scriptures and try my best to do what is right. Hallelujah. So we have opportunities. With Yahweh, we have opportunities. It says in Lamentations, the steadfast love of Yahweh never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. If you go now to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. This one came up on the screen two times because there's a point to be made. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. Give me a chance to get there. I got it here on my notes, but I want to get there and follow along with you all. This is speaking of Yahweh. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16. It reads there, he alone has endless life and lives in inaccessible light. No one has ever seen him, nor can anyone see him. Honor and eternal power belong to him. Amen. So the question is, how can we approach Yahweh in light of this passage? Romans chapter 12 said to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, this scripture here says, he alone has endless life. Yahshua didn't have that privilege. He lives an inaccessible life. People seen Yahshua in his time. They knew what he looked like. We don't know what he looked like, but people saw him. They fellowshiped with him. They knew what he looked like. Sometimes they knew where to find him. Okay, no one has ever seen him. Speaking of Yahweh, nor can anyone see him. Why not? Because we're not spirit beings. Why can't we see Yahweh? Because we're in our sinful nature. We're not made spiritual beings. Why couldn't the Israelites see Yahweh? Because he said, if I dwell in the midst of them, I'm going to consume them. It was only fitting that Numbers chapter 14 was read. The people murmured. The people complained. The people complain, oh, we have a drought. What about now? We have all this snow on the ground. Did we complain when we got all this snow? We can't get around. We got stuck. That's just the way that it is. Abba sends rain. He sends snow. He sends drought. He says, deal with it. I deal with you. Does Yahweh have patience with us? How many times do we rebel? How many times do we complain? How many times, as it said in James, do we bless Yahweh 1 minute and then curse our fellow man the next minute? So Yahweh has a lot of patience. So Yahshua said, the only way to the Father is through Him. It's only fitting that all the messages that we hear, we have to speak about Father Yahweh. And in return, we have to include Yahshua in there. There is no way we could approach Him without Yahshua. There is no way we can approach Yahweh without Yahshua. Just like the people couldn't approach Yahweh unless they went to Moses in his time. That's what the scripture says. Also, the only way to know Yahweh or Yahshua, the scripture says, is to obey them. The scripture says, if you say you know Yahweh, but you don't obey them, that's a lie. You have to obey them. It's for instance, someone comes into our assembly. We ask their name. Hi, how are you? What is your name? Where do you come from? How did you hear about us? We may dialogue with that person, but do we really know them? We don't really know them personally. We don't know what they're about. There's things that we learn about each other, even after knowing each other for 10, 20, 30 years, 40 years. Every day we're learning new things. I've been working for a company for 7 years. Learn something new every day. People in authority there, they have a certain authority that extends to every employee there. That's just a fact. It's a matter of life. Yahshua has a certain authority over the body of Messiah. When Yahshua comes, who will He judge? If you're not a part of the body, will He judge you? No. Yahweh will judge you. You see, they each have a responsibility there. It's only fitting, you see, because Yahshua came, He died, He lived in the flesh. He knows what we go through. Yahweh never did that, as far as we know. He never came in the flesh. He never died. It says that He dwells in unapproachable light. So how could people say that they seen Him, that they heard Him? Let's go to John chapter 14 and verse 9. John chapter 14. Some of these scriptures, they might seem like they're contradicting each other, but in the end, we'll tie them all together. That's what the Spirit does. It binds us together. John chapter 14 and verse 9. I bring this scripture up because some of our brethren that we're trying to reach, the Messianics, you know, they call on Jesus Christ. We're trying to reach you. We're trying to fellowship with you. You know, you're there on par. You believe in the Messiah, but we're trying to go ahead and, as they told Apollos, you know, let us teach Messiah, you know, in a better way. John 14:9, Yahshua said there, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Yahshua asked him, the person who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? There it is. Philip was there with Yahshua, and Yahshua asked him, you've been with me all this time, you still don't know me? Right? That's what we're talking on. You might meet a person, but you still don't know them. So Yahshua says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Well, what did he mean by this? One way to make sense of the scripture is to think of twins or two beings with identical character and identical morals. They think the same way. They act the same way, but they have different responsibilities. One is greater than the other. For instance, where I work, there's twins. So how about if I go to one of the twins and I say, hey, how you doing? He says, oh, yeah, I have a brother. You know, I have a twin. Am I going to ask him, well, what does he look like? They're twins. They look identical. They're the same. So if you've seen one, you've seen the other. So Yahshua said, if you've seen me, you've seen the works that I do, you've seen how I act, you've seen how I approach everyday situations, that's what my Father does. That's how he is. We're the same in the character, in the morals. We do righteousness. We do justice. We perform justice, like it says there in Micah. Act with justice. Yahshua treasured Yahweh's love, right? Yahshua walked humbly with his Elohim. Yahweh is Yahshua's Elohim. The Son worships the Father. That's one lesson that we need to comprehend. Yahshua is the Son. I mean, he has power to give you life. He has power to forgive you. But he worships the Father too. This is what he's telling us. My Father's greater. I worship him. I give all honor to him. Yes, you can pay me homage. You can call me king. You can do these things. But all worship goes to Yahweh all the time. Never are we told to worship the Son. I mean, we can bow the knee to him, but as far as worship, all worship goes to Yahweh, and it goes through the Son, because we have faith in the Son. We believe in the Son. We believe what he did. We believe he died for us. We preach his name. We don't just say, oh, well, he did this, but we don't have to do it. He himself kept the law perfectly, carefully. And he's still talking to us, telling us, do the same. Do like I did. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the poor and so on. Over in Psalm 51, we go back to Psalm 51. All these traits that we see here, humility and so on, Yahshua possessed these. He passed them on down to the apostles. The apostles were a stubborn bunch, just like us. The apostles had silly questions. Yahshua explained things to them plain, and they still went back. As Brother Bannock was saying earlier, they wanted confirmation. They wanted to make sure, hey, I want to make sure that I'm doing this the right way. You said to do it this way. I want to do it this the way you said. You like this? Well, I want to give you this, not that. Psalm 51. And verse 17, Yahshua was teaching the apostles, here's how you worship Yahweh, and here's how you publish the word of Yahweh. Here's how you do it, by your conduct, by your humility. He gave them powers that he himself possessed. But like there was a demon they couldn't cast out. Why not? Because they were lacking in faith, it says there. Peter walked on water, but then he started doubting. So he started sinking. Psalm 51, verse 17, it says, true sacrifice to Elohim is a broken spirit. A broken and chastened heart, Elohim, you will not despise. Here's King David. What happened? He sinned. Was he proud about it? No, he wasn't. Did he do something about it? Yes, he did. He humbled himself. We can read that and we can say, you know what? I've done some terrible things in my life also. Should I repent? Yes, you should. King David's heart was right. That's why Yahweh spared him. Unlike King Saul, his heart wasn't right. For instance, it says that Judas, after he betrayed Yahshua, he repented. Well, what kind of repentance did he do? He went and he hanged himself. Is that how you truly repent? Is that a broken and contrite heart? No, it's not. You didn't give yourself a chance. How can you see the kingdom if you go and take your own life? You murdered yourself. You have no way to repent of that. We feel for some people, women that they committed abortions, you can repent from that. You can repent from that. Yahweh can forgive that. So King David, he made mistakes, but he did his best to correct the mistakes. And as we read also in James chapter 3, King David was a teacher indirectly. He was a king. The people followed him, just like King Solomon. They went to hear his wisdom. So he had a responsibility. So what happened? Whenever he made a mistake, whenever he sinned, well, he got punished twice as much as a layperson would. That's the way it works. You want to be great? Pay the consequences when you fail. You want to be great? Be a servant to those who you think are beneath you. That's what Yahshua does. That's what he teaches us. He says, you know what? I'm greater than you, but we can sit at the same table and fellowship together and talk about the great things that Yahweh does. Because I'm humble. It says that Yahweh, you know what? He takes into account the poor people. He comes down to your level. He shows you grace. He shows you favor. The same way he would do to a rich person. He shows no partiality. The poor person sins. It says, don't show favoritism to him because he's poor. Don't show favoritism to a rich person because he's rich. My law is, you know, the way that it is. It's built on mercy and compassion. But if we sin, we make a mistake. Sometimes we have to pay with it. Sometimes we have to pay for it with our life. That's the way that it works. So the question is, how do we approach him? Well, you got to have a broken and contrite spirit. You got to be humble. You got to understand that when you die in this physical life, you don't automatically go and meet Yahweh and dwell with him. Not so fast. There's a procedure. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. As we go on and read more scriptures, some of these things will be even more clear. It says here, a broken spirit means to be humbled. Not proud like the so-called atheist. The scripture says, a fool has said in his heart, there is no Elohim. That's pride. That's big pride. You took it upon yourself to deny Yahweh, Yahshua, and the creation. You yourself were created by Yahweh. You yourself have a conscience in the back of your mind. You know that there's a being out there. You just want to deny it. You try so hard, but it's impossible for you to deny Yahweh. He gives you food and he gives you raiment. He says, be content, because he doesn't have to give you food. If you're a farmer, you're all the more dependent on Yahweh. If there's no rain, no food. No food equals famine, equals death. We see this in some countries. You know, they're suffering. They might be suffering physically. They don't have no food to eat. But what about us? We might be suffering spiritually because the nation is in a moral decline. The nation is dying slowly. It's like it has no spirit, has no breath. Why? Because people that are in a position to inspire, not doing their job. You know, we don't want to point fingers and start naming names, but we can see it. We can see it in our nation. We can see it how people treat each other. We can see how people treat, oh, you read the Bible? Right away, they get this idea that you're a certain way. Scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. What did Yahshua say? You have heard a long time ago, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. But I say, what did Yahshua say? Yahshua spoke the words correctly. He says, you heard that a long time ago. You know, that was a long time ago when Yahweh said, go in and destroy these people. He's not telling us to do that now. Yahweh never told the Jews in Judea to destroy the Romans. I mean, they couldn't do it anyway because it wasn't set up that way. He never said that. You see? Jeremiah told the people, just serve the king of Babylon and you will remain. But no, they decided otherwise. The people there in Numbers 14, what did they do? Oh, let's set up a captain and go back to Egypt. Yahweh said, don't go back there. He gave you a portion of his spirit. Are you going to go back into the world? It's the same way. If you have the portion of the spirit of Yahweh, are you going to go backwards or are you going to go forward? There's a saying in Spanish. There's an elephant. If you notice, 9 times out of 10, the elephant won't walk backwards. They always go forward. That's a saying to encourage each other. Always go forward like the elephant, not backwards. Hallelujah. Let's go to our next scripture over in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 5 and 10. Here's one thing how Yahweh works while we turn to that scripture. If Yahweh plans to destroy us and we repent, he can either delay the punishment or decide not to punish us. But either way it goes, we need to change our wicked ways. The ways of Yahweh are not wicked. We need to change our wicked ways before he can pardon us. How do you approach Yahweh? If you're proud and unrepentant, can he pardon you? Can he work with you? If you're a proud bunch, like it says in Revelation, you guys are proud. You're allowing all these false teachings. Can I work with you? I can't work with you. If the clay is hard, can you work with it? Can you mold it? No, you can't. You don't have to be a potter to know that. So we need to change our ways. The ways of Yahweh are set. The ways of Yahweh are mercy, the justice, and the righteousness. We might feel sometimes, oh, he's not fair. He is more than fair. His righteous ways don't change just because he forgives us. That's not true. He is merciful to those who show mercy, but he laughs at the proud. Think about it. When you're proud in your mind, in your heart, calamity comes upon you, he has no choice but to laugh because you chose that. He didn't put that in your heart. That's not how he is. He doesn't put you in a situation where you're going to fail, where you're going to curse him. He puts you in a situation where you have the position, you have the ability to succeed. That's what he wants from us. 2 Samuel 6, 5 through 10. It reads, David and the entire assembly of Israel were dancing in the presence of Yahweh with all their strength, accompanied by all sorts of wood instruments, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. When they arrived at Nakon's threshing floor, Uzzah reached out and grabbed the Ark of Elohim because the oxen had stumbled. Just then the anger of Yahweh blazed against Uzzah, and Elohim struck him down right there because of his failure, and he died there beside the Ark of Elohim. David flew into a rage because Yahweh had killed Uzzah. That's why that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. But David feared Yahweh that day and asked, "How can the Ark of Elohim come to me?" As a result, David was unwilling to take the Ark of Yahweh into his care in the city of David. Instead, David left it at the home of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And if you keep on reading on down, Yahweh blessed Obed-Edom. And King David saw that and he said, oh, okay. This means that I have to put this ark in the right place. So what happened here? The people are rejoicing. And then here comes Uzzah and he touches the ark. Well, see, King David's heart may have been in the right place, but if the ark would have been transported the correct way, maybe this wouldn't have happened. That's how it is. The lesson here is that Yahweh's holiness is hard for us to comprehend sometimes. How could Yahweh do this? All he did was touch the ark. What's so big about it? What's the big deal? It's a big deal. Yahweh is a holy Elohim. It says there in 1 Timothy 6. You can't approach him just any way. See, the thing with the Levites, some of them were told, okay, you have this task. You know, you take the articles, you wrap them up, and so on and so forth. But some of the Levites, it said there, don't even look at the articles or you're going to die. That's a rule. You have to abide by it. But I'm a Levite. I said not to look. That's what I said. Do it the way I said it. The ark, it had poles on the side for you to carry them. That's the way it was meant to be transported. not on some cart with the oxen. You know, that was just ripe for something bad to happen. What if the thing would have tipped over? Then what? What are you going to do? Everybody that tries to pick it up, they would have got struck down. So the king learned a lesson. Somebody died because, you know, of his, you know, he didn't have discipline. He didn't have discretion. He said, oh, let's just, you know, take it this way. It'd be fine, you know. Maybe it's not too far. And they're rejoicing, and Abba says, hey, you're not treating me as holy. I told you not to carry the ark that way. Very simple and to the point. You don't treat Yahweh as holy? Well, he has to, you know, take measures. Sometimes that's how it happens. Whose fault was that? Was it King David's fault? Well, it says there that he feared Yahweh that day. And he says, how could the ark come to me? You want me to be in possession of that? I mean, you just killed this man. So, I mean, you know, it put some fear in his heart. It put his, you know, the perspective that he had. He said, okay, I got to do these things the right way. Let's go now to Numbers. We'll look at another example. We'll go to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. And we're going to read verses 12 through 14. That chapter heading there was the law concerning inheritances. But in Numbers 27, verses 12 through 14. And this is the consequence of Moshe's actions. Something that Moshe did caused these consequences. Numbers 12 through 14. 27, 12 through 14. Then Yahweh told Moses, you are to climb these Abarim mountains and look over the land that I am going to give to the children of Israel. After you've seen it, you'll be taken to be with your people just as your brother Aharon was gathered to them. Because in the wilderness of Sin, when the community rebelled, you rebelled against my command to treat me as holy before their eyes. In regards to the Meribah Springs in Kadesh in the wilderness of Sin. What happened here? You go back to Numbers 14. Yahweh was so upset with the people, he said, I'm going to wipe them out and start over again with Moses. Was Yahweh angry at that time? Do our complaints go up to Yahweh? Do our complaints please Yahweh after all he does for us? Think about it. You do a nice gesture for someone, and then they turn around and curse you. Say, yeah, but that's not enough. I want more. Or it's not that you did me a favor. It's that you didn't do the favor the way I liked it. You didn't provide the food when I wanted it, how I wanted it. You know, we have our tastes, you know. Well, sometimes what happened to Moses? Because of the people, he said, you guys were murmuring. I got upset. I lost my temper. We can do this, it says, you know, with our tongue, but we can do this with our actions. And you see how Yahweh said, speak to the rock and it'll bring out water. What did Moses do? He just lost his temper. He smote the rock. It's almost like smiting Yahshua. Because Yahshua is the Word made flesh. So now Moses, he was one of the meekest men besides our Savior, it says there. I mean, in all the earth. But because of the murmuring of the people, he lost his temper. How many times do we lose our temper? When we're trying to talk scriptures with people, but what happens? We lose our temper. That's the worst time that it could happen. This cost him a chance at entering the promised land. Question, how did Moses approach Yahweh in that instance? Did he go about it the right way? These are examples of how to do it and how not to do it. This is an example how not to do it. Just like Uzzah, he lost his life. I mean, spiritually, for Moses, think about it. It's like Yahweh telling us, I'm going to show you what the kingdom is going to be like with Yahshua ruling and me there and all the apostles and all those people that you read about, but you're not going to go in there. Think about if Yahweh would reveal that to us. I'm going to show you what it's like, but you're not going in there. Why not? Because of something you did, because of something you said. That's how Moses felt. I mean, you go out, you look at this beautiful land. It's not like Egypt. It's not bondage. Maybe like us, we live here in Missouri. Maybe we, you know, you go online or you might see a video of a beautiful place similar to that. What would you rather be there? Would you rather be fellowshipping with the brethren? You know, sometimes the pictures that people paint of the kingdom, they're so beautiful. But then they turn around and tell you, but you have to worship me to get there. Or you have to pay me so that I can teach you more. This goes on every day. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15, approaching Yahweh. How do we approach Yahweh? How have we approached him? A lot of us here, we know each other. We have certain beliefs, and we're trying to follow Yahweh and Yahshua. How do we approach outsiders? I think this is a good lesson for us to look into, especially before the Passover, because there's a lesson there too. Yahweh says, how are you going to approach me when it comes to the Passover? Matter of fact, when are you going to do it? That's also key. Are you going to meet with me on the wrong day? 1 Samuel 15 and verses 22 and 23. It reads there, and Samuel said, hath Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken, to listen, than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and the stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of Yahweh, he hath also rejected thee from being king. We can insert there, you have rejected the son of Yahweh. You could have been a king in the kingdom. You could have been a priest. You could have been the guy that opens the door, but maybe you rejected the son of Yahweh, the word of Yahweh. That could be a consequence. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not the one to hand down that judgment. I'm just saying, if you have the Father, I mean, wouldn't you look to the Son? He said he was going to send his Son. And if you have the Son, why wouldn't you believe in the Father? I mean, we have to use logic when it comes to the scriptures. We have to. I mean, we can't just interpret the scriptures any old way. These are inspired words, so we need the inspiration of Yahweh to interpret these things. For instance, we live here in the West. We can't always interpret what the Hebrews are trying to tell us by interpreting them, you know, the way we live here, by using the customs we use. For instance, there's a custom where, you know, over there in the East, and we can relate to this, right? Because the people are scared of the dark. Why? Well, there's a scripture, you know, especially the one about the virgins. If you're cast out into outer darkness, that's it. There's no light there. So you're scared of the dark, so what do? Well, you light a lamp with oil, and you keep it going all night. See, I mean, I like to sleep, you know, with the lights off. It's hard for me to sleep with the lights on. But in the East, that's not how they do things. So certain scriptures, I can't interpret them, you know, by the way that I'm thinking. You see, the priest, he was supposed to keep that lamp going all the time. You keep that light going. You know, you're in the word of Yahweh, you keep it going. For instance, you have a fire, you know, you put some wood in it. You got to keep that fire going. You want to stay warm. You want to cook your food. You got to keep it going. Yahweh give you a portion of the Spirit. You got to keep stirring it. You got to keep stirring it. You got to keep it going. You can't extinguish it. You can't grieve it. You can grieve it or you can totally extinguish it. When you walk away from the faith, you're extinguishing the Spirit of Yahweh. When we're sinning, when we're in a pattern of sin, we're grieving the Spirit of Yahweh. Yahweh is upset. I gave you a gift. You're not using it. I taught you something. Same way with the Son. We're offending Yahweh. We're offending Yahshua. Both ways. So there it is. Our approach. How do we approach things? It's the same way when we're going to fix something and we don't have any knowledge of how to do it. What do? We research. How do I fix this? How do I fix it without messing it up more? You know, that's a problem that I have. Something that I don't know how to fix and it has to deal with pressure, I don't want to deal with it. I'd rather, you know what, humble myself, call somebody that knows better. You might have to pay for it. It might seem expensive, but you get it done the right way. Somebody that knows. And you pray that Yahweh is with that person. You know, that they don't make it worse. They don't take advantage of you. You have a problem with the scripture, you go to somebody who knows. You have an ailment, you ask brothers that are faithful in prayer to pray for you. Yahweh might say no, but that's also part of it. I don't understand this scripture. Well, maybe it's not your time yet. I don't understand that scripture. Maybe it's not your time yet. Give it time. The apostles were with the Messiah for how long? And they still couldn't understand simple scriptures. He would tell them, are you still without knowledge? I just explained this to you. Are you still lacking faith? I'm here. I haven't gone anywhere. Same way with us. Now, how did the apostles approach Yahshua? Most of the time, they were just humble about it. You know what? We don't know. We're not sure. We haven't totally grasped this concept that you're teaching, Matthew 13. You're saying these parables, we don't know what you're talking about. Explain it to us. He said, well, here's how it is. You know, the word goes forth and only one out of four get it. Only one out of four bear fruit. So 75% are left out. They're out in darkness. Let's go to our next scripture. And also, even though Yahweh requires sacrifices after the children of Israel, they were freed from bondage in Egypt, what he wanted then, and he still requires, is obedience to his word, which is Yahshua. That's what he wanted. See, in the Old Testament, what did he say? My angel is going to be with you. Listen to him because he will not pardon your iniquities. You guys are just, you insist on being rebellious. So Yahshua is not going to pardon you. The rock that followed them was Messiah, 1 Corinthians 10. What did it say? To obey is better than sacrifice. Any sacrifice that you could bring. Think about that scripture in Micah. I could bring him all this oil. I could bring him all my firstborn. I could give him my child. Abraham went and did the ultimate sacrifice, his son, the son that he loved. See, he wasn't told to sacrifice Ishmael. He was told to sacrifice Isaac because the seed was going to come through him. So it wouldn't have been a problem to sacrifice Ishmael because the seed was still going through Isaac. He said, no, I know you love him. He's telling us the same thing. There are certain things. I know you love those things. Sacrifice them. Show me. Show me what you're willing to do for me in order for me to show you grace so that you can ultimately make it into the kingdom. Show me. Show me if your heart is pliable, if you're willing. So he still wants obedience. Yahshua said that. He still wants obedience. Loving your neighbor is obedience. Loving your neighbor is the same as a sacrifice. Our prayers go up as incense. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to say, you know what? I can't solve this problem. I don't have the resources. I don't have the manpower. I need your help, Yahweh. I need your help. I need your help in overcoming these things. You know, blessed be Yahweh. I mean, I asked a brother, I told him, you know, can you pray for me on a certain issue? Abba's taking care of it, but he said, not so fast. Because then he reveals to you other things where you're failing. Anger management. Anger. When you offend someone with your tongue, that comes from anger. I'm angry. I got a problem with anger. There it is. So how is that going to be fixed? Well, Abba has to tan your hide a little bit. He gives you chances, opportunities to overcome these things. You got to do it. You got to go through the test. He says, those whom he loves, he chastises. And while you're going through it, you know, you're fussing, you're fighting, it has to bear fruit of righteousness. You have a problem with partiality, he's going to touch you there. Whatever your situation is, you're struggling, he's going to come to you, to that situation. He's going to touch you there. It's going to keep coming up. And even after you overcome it and you give him praise, not so fast, because it might come up again. You know, just a little quiz. Let me quiz you. You still remember? You have problems. You have to fix them. So also in Psalm 22, it says there very, very clearly that Yahshua used the name in the midst of the congregation. This is one of the things that probably upset the leaders of his time also. Because what did they tell the apostles? Do not teach in that name. Did they say Jesus? I don't think so. So one of the rules is call upon his name. Worship his name. Proclaim his name. We can't see Yahweh, but his son used and taught us the name. I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, thunders Yahweh through the prophet. Commandment number one, I am Yahweh. What did Yahshua say? What is the first and greatest commandment? Worship who? Yahshua didn't say Adonai or Hashem. He didn't say Jehovah. He was very specific. The angel that came to the Israelites came in Yahweh's name. It says there, my name is in him. That's like saying Yahweh Jr. Same name. The name is in there. It's powerful. When we invoke that name, we get people angry. They get upset. They never heard that. They never learned that. They might not be curious about it. So we try our best. I mean, it's not much to say, hello, how are you? What is your name? Okay, my name is Jose. So you know my name. So, you know, you would, you know, do good to use it. I learned your name. I would be, you know, good to use it. Otherwise, I'm going to offend you. What about Yahweh? When you approach him. If you're ignorant of certain facts, Yahweh is going to have mercy, and we understand that because we're still ignorant of some facts about the kingdom. That's just the way that it works. I has not seen nor heard those things that Yahweh has prepared. That means we don't know. We're still in the dark about that. We want Yahweh to enlighten us. Maybe it's not our time. How many people know when Yahshua's coming back? How many people have made a fool of themselves saying that Yahshua's coming back at such and such a time? That's approaching him with pride. If he never even said that to his son, how could you know that? You've never even been in his presence. How could you go that far? You damaged your credibility all the way around. Even if you say something true, it says there, don't fear that prophet. Because, you know, you went ahead of your boundaries. Over in John chapter, I have 1 Corinthians 14:40 there. That actually reads, let all things be done decently and in order. And that's one scripture that when we come before Yahweh, that's what we strive to do. There's a certain order. There's a certain approach that we go through here. And that's what Yahweh wants. He gave us instructions. Don't just come up here and everybody, you know, speak at once. Or, you know, just do it however way you want to do it. No, do it in a certain manner. When you watch the broadcast, you know, okay, you know, we're going to hear songs. And then we're going to pray. Or we're going to pray first. We're going to hear some songs, be edified. Then we're going to read the Torah. And then we're going to do the psalm, you know, and so on. Everything is in order. It's a procedure, like 1, 2, 3, 4. You notice the numbers don't start with 12. Start at 1, and then we move on down. We start with A, B, C. You know, the same way, right? That's how it is. When the people were sitting with Yahshua at the table, how was it done? The oldest one first, down to the youngest. Then you made a U. That's how it was done. That's the privilege that you had. So, and then when we think to ourselves, oh, well, I've been in this a long time. Well, you have more responsibility. In certain areas, you should know better. And we, the young ones, we look to the elders for instruction. You don't just have to be an elder in the congregation. You can be an aged person with experience. You're seasoned. I remember a long time ago, this friend of mine, you know, a personal friend of mine, I call him my uncle, you know, he helped raise me and took me to the side and he said, you know, here's how you approach people that are older than you that you don't know, that you're not familiar with. There's a certain way you approach them. There's a certain wording that you approach them with, a certain respect that you give them. And then he also said, when maybe you're interested in a lady, well, you know, when you go to the home, don't come empty-handed. Bring something. And also, you greet everyone else first, and then you greet her later. There's time for that. There's a procedure. When Yahshua comes for the bride, how is he going to do it? There's a certain way he's going to do it. And we're told, be prepared, because you're not going to know. People think, oh, I'm ready. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know, we read that scripture. Are you really ready? If Yahshua came tomorrow, would we be ready? Would we be 100% confident? I'm good. I repented of everything that I've done. Yahweh is going to know when we're ready. That's when he's going to send Yahshua. You get engaged. There's a certain time that goes by. The man prepares himself. You know, I'm going to be a dad. Later, I'm going to be a father. I got to be prepared the best that I can. Right? So there's timing. When your father tells you, you know what, son? You're ready. Go ahead. That's when you go get the bride. And that's why the virgins were also told, be ready. Because if you're not ready when he comes, you're not going to be allowed into the marriage feast. That's why some were left out. They didn't have oil. They were in darkness. Because their lamps went out. See? So there goes that Hebrew teaching, that Hebrew reasoning. We're in the dark. What do we do now? They were told, go out and buy some. By the time they come back, it's too late. You say, when Yahshua comes, he's going to explain everything to me. No. You're supposed to be prepared before he gets here. How are you going to know if he's telling you the truth if you didn't study and learn about the word? How are you going to know where repentance is? How are you even going to know that, you know, transgressing the law of Yahweh is sin if you're waiting for Yahshua to explain it to you? Is that the right approach? You're going into battle. How do you approach it? Do you just think that, you know, your enemy's weaker than you and that's the end of it? No. Got to study. What are the enemy's tendencies? How does the evil one approach us? Very simple. He knows our weaknesses. He attacks every time, even in the assembly, in our home. Those people that you love the most, he wants confusion among that relationship. He wants the whole body to be divided. You have assemblies here, you have assemblies there. Are we all on the same page? The outsiders are asking. Well, why don't you all agree on certain things? See that? Over in John chapter 3, we'll go to John chapter 3. There's a man, he went to the Messiah, you know, he had questions. We have questions. Yahshua have answers. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is Nicodemus. We'll read there John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Yahshua by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from Yahweh, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except Elohim be with him. Yahshua answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Yahweh. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yahshua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. There's people that are acting like, you mean I got to be born again? You mean I have to be baptized again into Yahshua after I was baptized into this Greek name? Yes. That's what it means. This ruler, though, he came to Yahshua humbly and he learned some valuable instruction. And some folks, they miss this. They miss what Yahshua is saying because they believe they go to heaven after death. If you believe that, you're not going to fully understand this passage. Yahshua says you have to be baptized according to Acts 4:12. You have to have a portion of the Holy Spirit. You have to be compliant to Yahweh. And of course, you have to hear that trumpet blast when he wakes you up, when he returns. If you hear Yahshua, if you hear that last trumpet, you're going to be made a spirit being. There it is. That's when you're born again. Then you can approach Yahweh. That's when you can see Yahweh. Scripture says that the angels, the messengers that protect the children, they see Yahweh every day. Right? And that's why Yahshua said, when you're made a spirit being, you don't marry. You're not given in marriage. See that? You're not a mortal person. You don't have sin in your life to repent of. You're a spirit being. You're in the presence of Yahshua. You're qualified to teach with him. That's being born again. It's not just getting baptized. You were just justified when you got baptized. You didn't walk in sanctification yet. That took time. That was a process. An unrighteous person will not serve with Yahshua in the kingdom of Yahweh. No, sir. Galatians 5:19 through 21. It has a whole bunch of sins there. And then it ends with, if you practice these things, you will not enter the kingdom of Yahweh. And that scripture there is going to offend a lot of people. But it's truth. We have to come clean with ourselves. We know we're frail. We say it all the time. All have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh. All have sinned and come short. Have all repented, though. If you've sinned, okay, you admit it. Just like an addict. You know what? I'm addicted. You admitted it. What have you done to remedy the situation? I sinned. Okay, well, yeah, sure, everybody has. But did you repent of your sin? Did you overcome that sin? Sure, you might have fell here and there, you know, in the process. You know, that's part of overcoming. You know, you go through that every day. Hallelujah. We might be sinners just like the next person, but have we repented? That's question number one. If you repented, you're doing good in approaching Yahweh because you're humbling yourself. The last scripture that I have here is 1 Corinthians 11. And actually this one, it deals with the Passover. I mean, and it's, I think it's perfectly fitting because it's going to be a key to us approaching Yahweh. We read the different examples. People died for approaching Yahweh the wrong way. People didn't make it to the promised land for approaching Yahweh the wrong way. 1 Corinthians 23, on down through verse 32. Some people also, they misunderstand this scripture. You know, they twist it to their own destruction. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 32. For I have received of the Master that also which I delivered unto you, that the sovereign Yahshua, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Master's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Master unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Master. And here's the clincher. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Master's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Master, that we shall not be condemned with the world. Here it is. Question is, you want to get baptized? Have you repented of your sins? You got to do it. After you're baptized, same rule applies. Have you repented of your sins? Yahshua comes. He might ask you, have you repented of your sins? How do you qualify to teach with me? Are you a righteous person? How do I know that? Did you go through the action? Did you just say, I have faith? But no works? You didn't do anything about your faith? You didn't think you had to repent? So what's going on here? The apostle is teaching us that these pagans and us, he's teaching them the very thing he learned from Messiah himself. He didn't learn that from anyone else. He learned it from Messiah. He's teaching us. He was teaching obedience to Yahweh then and for us. He was, and he's teaching discipline. You know, don't go eat at home and then come, you know, and, you know, just do things however when the Passover comes. No. I want everyone to do it, you know, at the same time, you know, in an orderly fashion. That's how I want it done. Okay? He's teaching us to search within ourselves for the crumbs of leaven. There's a lot of leaven in this temple. We need to search it out. We need Yahweh to teach us. You know, to bring it to our attention. You're lacking, son. I want to show you where you're lacking. I want you to improve in that area. You have anger? Deal with it. You want peace? How do you approach me so that I can give you peace? Are you lacking in wisdom? Did you ask me for it? Did you have faith that I was going to give it to you? How can we ask and then say to ourselves, oh, he's not going to give me that? You're already doubting him? You haven't given him a chance? How long did it take for Messiah to come? Took a while. If we ask Yahweh to reveal to us where we're failing and work on fixing these fleshly issues, when Yahshua judges us, he will not condemn us. That's what it says there. If we judge ourselves, meaning if we do what we're supposed to and clean this temple out, for instance, if you clean your house and there's no crumbs there, can somebody come and accuse you? Oh, you know, you have leavening in your house. You cleaned it out. So that's the purpose of the Passover. That's why we're telling people, you know, get ready, you know, make your plans. not just financially, you know, spiritually, you want to come clean also, your conscience. The world can't say the same thing if they don't abide by the rules of Yahweh. It just so happened that I ended with this scripture, but we will learn more about the Passover and the Unleavened Feast in a few weeks. I don't want to touch on that too much. Closing, I want to say, in the book of Revelation, Yahshua gives a glimpse into how bad things will be for those who disobey Yahweh. But he instructs us not to be proud just because we know a little bit of truth, because many assemblies were failing. Same thing goes for us. Yahshua chastised those congregations, but the message is for us and those after us. Repent. Be humble. Learn the truth of Yahweh. Practice it and teach it. If we learn not to make the same mistakes some of the forefathers made and take heed to follow Yahweh, we'll have a head start when it comes to the kingdom of Yahweh. It's going to be here soon. We got to be prepared. We can't wait for Yahshua to come and teach us. May Yahweh bless you, and may he guide you always so that we can serve with Yahshua. Thank you for your time. Hallelujah.